Is there any one of us who has a stony heart? We ask, O Lord, that you replace with that of flesh in Jesus' name, that your word will be able to penetrate and do what it meant to do in the life of the individual in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. This morning we'll be looking at divine wisdom. And I want us to take our memory verse, which is from quickly open our Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Say, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Praise the Lord. Can we go through it together? Our memory verse, please. That's Proverbs 4, 7. 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. This is our memory verse. I think for this week, we just go over it and meditate upon it. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. You know? It says, therefore, get wisdom. How can we get wisdom? How can we get wisdom? We are talking about divine wisdom. How can we get divine wisdom? I want people to talk. Because this is Sunday school. How can we get divine wisdom? Divine wisdom. Dr. Akinyemi is laughing, so maybe he wants to say something. Wait. So no, we can ask God. Yeah? There's another way we can get it too. Yes. And we have to... Yeah, we have to make up our mind. We have to be resolute. You know, sometimes it can be very hard, and there are a lot of distractions around us. So God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly go to our text, which is the book of James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Still talking about divine wisdom. If you are there before me, you can start to read because of our time. James 3, 13 to 18. I even want somebody to read from the congregation. The book of James. Yeah. Is anybody who is reading? It's on your bulletin. 13 to 18. Please, can you read loud so that because of the... Yeah. Yes.
Bitter heaviness and self-seeking in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Praise the Lord. The summary of where my brother has read, you know, I want us to concentrate on verse 17, even when we get to him, you know. Say, true wisdom. How can we measure true wisdom? Can be measured by the depth of our, you know, our character. You know, we can identify a tree by the fruit. You know, if you want to know somebody who has who operates in divine wisdom, you know, we see the way the person, by the character of the person. You know, because if we look at it, you say that the verse 17, the wisdom from above is pure. Number one, it's very pure. It will be very clear. There will be no doubt. You have peace of mind, maybe in your decision or whatever you are doing. It will be gentle, willing to yield. Like now, you want to do something. and a brother come and say, this is, oh, let's look at the Bible, this is the way the Bible says we should do it, you'll be able to yield to it. You're full of mercy, you know. You not operate in the realm of an eye to eye. If you do something to somebody, you're not going to multiply it by 1,000 and do it back. You'll be full of mercy. Good fruit, you know, we produce good fruit. Good fruit is that, you know, when we are, how do I put it now? When we are able to yield, then the way the people will see us will be different. You know, it's what we are here while we are alone, then it's what we be when we are outside, you know. Without partiality and without hypocrisy, we should just stand for what we stand for. It's not because this is this person and I'm going to change. No, we have to stand, and God will help us in Jesus' name. So we should concentrate on verse 17. It's very important. If we take it one by one and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret it to us, it will be, you know, it will make more meaning to us, because it's very important that we seek divine wisdom, you know. With the end time Christian, we have to be very careful, because there are a lot of distractions and there are a lot of things going on around us that we have to be very careful. We not compare ourselves to others, you know, and desire to do what they are doing or do what they want, because we are Christian and we know where we are going. Just like I said last week, it is very important that we operate in divine wisdom, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at our manual here. It says, wisdom is the deep understanding and realization of people, thing, and action. In keeping this understanding, it often requires control of one's emotional reaction. Yes, the passion, you know. So that the universal principle, reasoning, and knowledge prevail to determine one's action. Yes, you know, that is the Wikipedia definition of wisdom. So, and we are talking about divine wisdom here. You know, when we now put the word divine, you know, it refers to the divinity of a thing as related to holiness and supernatural, you know. When we talk about anything that is divine, we can't do without talking about holiness. And we know what holiness means, so that we'll be able to stand clearly in the presence of God. That is why the Bible says we should be in the attitude of prayer. It means that we should be ready anytime. We should be holy, so that we'll be able to lift up our hand naturally to God without first of all repenting. So, you know, divine wisdom comes with holiness. That is not naturally obtainable, but from God, you know. You know, we can ask God to help us so that we'll be holy, because the Bible says without holiness, no man will see God. It is very possible that we can be holy. It's not just saying it. It's possible to do it. If it is not possible, God will not ask us to do it. So we are going to look at divine wisdom. It says, this is the supernatural wisdom that comes only from God, and epitomized in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it says that we should be Christ's imitator, that we should imitate Christ. You know, if we are going to operate in the divine wisdom, we have to imitate Christ, because Christ is our, you know, our perfect example that we follow. Can we quickly look at the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 40?
Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Praise the Lord. It summarizes the complete humanity of Jesus Christ. You know, we can grow in wisdom by walking with God. That is, studying the word of God, praying, you know, and doing his will. So again, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Talking about divine wisdom.
For the preaching of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness.
Praise the Lord. Wisdom and power are found in Jesus, you know. Powerful in ways, you know. The way, you know, you will live directly opposite to the worldly way, you know. If you operate in a divine wisdom, you will be different. God will set you apart, you know. Everything you do will be directly opposite human expectation. That is divine wisdom. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So we are quickly going to, we not go to the other Bible passage, so that because of our time. So we quickly look at types of wisdom. Number one here, you know, this type of wisdom, we are going to get people to talk about it, to explain what they understand by it. You know, it says here, earthly wisdom. So we'll be ready to open our Bible to the book of James chapter 13 again, where we have read. Types of wisdom, earthly wisdom. This is the wisdom of the world. It operates in carnality. It is characterized by deceit, greed, bitterness, envy, wrong and self-motive, fraud of all kind, and so on. It is in sharp contrast to heavenly wisdom. And everything that is opposite the heavenly wisdom is what earthly wisdom. So who can give us an example of earthly wisdom? We need people to talk. We are talking about divine wisdom. Example of earthly wisdom. If we are not talking, I will have to call people to say something, because we need to talk about it. This is Bible study. Earthly examples of earthly wisdom. My brother Dayo. Yes.
Nobody ever teaches a child to start lying. But without us knowing, the child know how to maneuver his way.
Yes.
And start lying. He gains that wisdom naturally from the earth. That's an example of earthly wisdom.
Okay.
Lying, deceit. Really? The same thing as deceit.
We just lying, you know, with impunity, without even thinking about it. Okay. Well, I want somebody else to give us another one. Earthly wisdom. Brother Adeoye. Sister Buki.
I would say that the earthly wisdom is characterized by so many things that we can talk of. Mm. One, I would talk of selfishness. And selfishness goes in different dimensions. Like, you know, where it's just like you just think about yourself alone. You don't think about others. And earthly wisdom also goes to summarize this all, it is deceit. You understand? It is deceit, and it is greed, and also it is envy. You understand? And all these things comes in as a result of selfish attitudes or the selfish or unselfish interest. So that's what I would just say about it. Mm. And when we are operating within our own knowledge and thinking that it is of God, it is not of God. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I want somebody younger adult to talk. So I want Brother Okpe, Brother Anu to talk. We're talking about earthly wisdom. One young person to talk about it. It's in your bulletin. Earthly wisdom as applied to us today.
Like just an example, is it?
Yes.
I think, like you said, when we do things from our head knowledge, we don't sort of consult God's word, and we don't find out what his own what God's thoughts are, considering what we want to do. We know where we want to go. We apply our human knowledge to actually go about it. I think that will be one example of
earthly wisdom.
Earthly wisdom, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Everything that is opposite our text, that is operating in an earthly wisdom. So we are going to move on. We are going to go to sensual wisdom. So this kind of wisdom we get from our senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, taste, and touch. Is also carnal and often misleading. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look at the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. Genesis 3.
Together and make themselves beautiful.
Praise the Lord. We are talking about sensual wisdom, you know. We have to be very careful about this one, you know. We should recognize it quickly. Remember what happened, you know. As a Christian and as a child of God, we should look at it very well because it's operating in the flesh, you know, the enticement of our eyes, personal ambition. We have to resist it. You know, the same way that it happened to Satan is still happening today. So that is why we have to be careful with the lust of the flesh, the eye, and even the pride of life. It operates in these three areas. We have to be very careful. You know, sometimes you ask somebody, okay, somebody will come and tell you something. Say, okay, how do you know this thing? Say, I just sense it. That is not wisdom, you know. Some people, they've been accused wrongly. You know, I just sense this person is a witch. You know, I know this person operates in the witchcraft. Say, how do you know? Did you hear anything from God? They say, no. So we have to be very careful. So we are going to look at the third one, which is intellectual wisdom. Say, this is the wisdom from the use of our intelligence, thought and reason, and critical or analytical as obtained in schools and other places of learning. Let's quickly look at Luke chapter 2, 46 to 47. Intellectual wisdom.
After 3 days, they found him in bed and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers.
Praise the Lord. You know, this is Jesus Christ here, you know. He sat with the elders in the church, you know. He listened to what they are teaching. He was able to answer questions, ask them questions. And, you know, and everybody look at him, you know. This type of wisdom is not, we can't apply it to the things of God. It's very important that we know. You know, when it comes to the things of God, we have to apply divine wisdom because we're not going to make mistake. But if we begin to, you know, apply our intellectual wisdom, you know, just say because, oh, I know this one, this two plus two with God is not always four. You know, God, just like we have said that everything that is divine, you know, is taking another dimension. Intellectual wisdom, which you know, wants your will, your perfect will. You know, it is very dangerous if we operate in this type of wisdom, in the things of God. We can make mistakes, and sometimes we are not careful. One, which is the devilish wisdom. See, this is also known as satanic or diabolical wisdom. It is the kind of wisdom in operating in witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, palm reading, divination, enchantment at 33 verse 6.
Manasseh even sacrificed his own son in the fire. In the valley of the sons of Enoch, he practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft. And he consulted with visions and
praise the Lord. This type is still very much around. If you go to Fremantle, you see people on the line, long line, queuing for people to read their palms. You know, people still tell them things. You go to Fremantle market, it's still very much in operation. And as a child of God, we should resist it. Because just like we have said before, anything that is not from the Bible, any wisdom that is not from God, you know, it's a big waste of time. And the same thing too in Exodus chapter 7. Verse 11, he's still talking about the same thing. So we should be very careful. I think we'll continue next week so that we give people time to talk. We've talked about the type of wisdom that we have. We talk about the earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, intellectual wisdom, devilish wisdom. So next week, we are going to continue teaching. You know, we have to operate in divine wisdom as a child of God. So we continue from there next week. Any question, contribution? I think people should say something. They are talking about wisdom. In this end time, we know there are a lot. We obtain our wisdom from many sources. You know, internet is one, which is not supposed to be. Internet, friends, any small thing. Have you Googled it? Praise the Lord. Nobody wants to talk.
Praise the Lord. I think This is a very, very important topic for children of God. I personally believe that this is what we need. First of all, let me clarify something in Luke chapter 2, 46 to 47. We are not saying that Jesus used intellectual wisdom there. What we are saying is that we had people who were teachers who had knowledge of the law. And that was why Jesus was able to confound them by his answer. Because the Bible said he grew in wisdom and in stature. So he had divine wisdom in his life. And these were people, the scribes, the Pharisees, who had read the law. They had head knowledge of the law, but they did not understand the divine will of God. You know, that was why Jesus was sitting right in front of them and they wouldn't know. So, that's the first thing that I want us to be aware of. Then the second thing is this, is that divine wisdom, it's what is lacking these days. It is what we lack as children of God. And it's something we need to desire from God. It's so vital. Like it's been said before, a lot of things pass for divine wisdom, or what people call wisdom these days. For example, if you read the book of Romans very well, Paul was saying, he was talking about using what is evil to obtain more good. In other words, suppose I tell a lie in order to promote something that I think is in the course of serving God. Would that be right? To the average person, say that is wisdom. I want us to look carefully at the characteristics of divine wisdom as defined in James. It's true. It has to be based on the truth. It has to be based on purity, that is holiness. It has to be selfless, must seek the good of others. It has to be done in humility. The wisdom that seeks self-expression is not of God. And that is what we need in order to operate with God. So I think as children of God, we need to take a hard look at the way we operate things, the way we do things, making sure that it lines up. And I like James because there is a clear definition. If the kind of wisdom we use does not meet the criteria, you know, maybe we should just please quickly have a look again. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. I will prefer to read from my own version. Let me read from my own version. Maybe it will shed more light on it. If the standard of your wisdom is not in line with what is outlined there, you know, when you are going to the left and you tell somebody you are going to the right and you think it's wisdom, that's not wisdom. When there are four things and you say there are three, it's not wisdom. I know traditionally, for some of us where we come from, that is wisdom. But I tell you, that is street wisdom. It's not heavenly wisdom. Let me read here. It says, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. So, a true wisdom is humble. But if you have bitter jealousy, that is envy and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your heart, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. So we can see some other characteristics. Once it is there, once it's because somebody has something, I must have it too. Who is this person? How is it different from me? How is this? I can't. Then you, it's not godly wisdom. It is not. If it's out of envy, out of, you know, yes, I have to because they do, you know. Verse 15. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, that is animal, even devilish, demonical. For where there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, that is unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of envy and vile practices. We may not say, this is the reason, we may not say, because I like what this person have, that's why I'm doing this. No. I tell people, I say, when you start to find fault with somebody for no reason, when you start to find fault always with somebody, then there's a problem. Everything they do, you always see something wrong. Everything they do, you see something wrong. Everything they do, you always conjure something. Then check yourself, you know. That's why the Yorubas say something. I know there are many of us. They say, Ijailara, Itomboro. You was no way. You will try to settle it. It won't happen. It will just not happen. Just check. Make sure. Check yourself. Okay? Then, he said, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, that is undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, it's courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unflinched. That is, there's no pretense, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of the righteousness of conformity to God's will in thought and deed is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, with peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals, with undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passion and moral conflict. So, in other words, when you are taking a position that is against what you believe, that's moral conflict. You already know what the Bible says, but your position is different from what the Bible is saying. That's confusion. Then you just know it's not heavenly wisdom. And I pray that God will expand his words in our hearts today in Jesus' name.
Just to quickly chip in this one before we pray, I normally tell people, I say, if somebody asks you a question that is very direct and you don't want to answer, you can simply say it's personal. And the person will not push it anymore. Praise the Lord. Instead of us to say something that we don't want to say, we just say, well, okay, this is personal. You don't want to say anything. It's my own personal thing. And that is okay, instead of lying. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we bless your holy name once again. We appreciate you for what we have had this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, even for the opportunity to hear the undiluted word of God here. Father, we give you praise. We ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we have received wisdom from above this morning to go into your word and to do what your word says. Father, we bless your holy name. Father, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, even for the grace. Thank you, Lord, for new grace that you have given us this morning. Thank you, Lord, even for the enablement. You know, you enable us to see the truth, and we're going to follow it in Jesus' name. Father, we bless your holy name, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed.